Good morning, and thank you for joining us for worship from Second Presbyterian Church in Portsmouth, Ohio. My name is Allison Bauer, and I'm the pastor here at Second Pres. And I'm glad you're with us, whether you're a regular member or perhaps a new person tuning in for the first time. Today is the sixth Sunday of Easter, May 17th, 2020, just in case you're having trouble keeping track of the day. And this radio broadcast is sponsored by the Women's Association of Second Pres. So thanks very much, ladies, for doing that. It always takes a village to create a worship service. I say this every week, but it's very important, I think, to extend our thanks to those who help us make this thing possible. So I'm grateful once again to Dr. Stan Workman, Director of Music here at Second Pres, and Justin Wiggett, Director of Music at All Saints Episcopal Church across town, for providing the music for us. I'm also grateful to John Houston, the president of our trustees, and Rebecca Clark, our office administrator, for providing readings for this service. We do use a bulletin, and we do mail out copies of our bulletin. So if you would like a copy of the bulletin to follow along with the service, feel free to give us a call and we'll put you on our mailing list. Our phone number is 740-353-4159. That's 740-353-4159. As a side note before the service begins, I wanted to note that our special music today is a recording from our 2019 performance of Handel's Messiah that we hosted here on Good Friday of last year. And it features Portsmouth-born bass Jeffrey Tarr singing "The Trumpet Shall Sound." Oh, and one other thing, again, before worship gets started. If you love singing hymns as much as we do here at Second Pres, we hope you will join us today at 4 p.m. right here on WIOI for a Vespers service hymn sing led by the dynamic duo of Stan Workman and Justin Wiggett. So that's 4 p.m. today here on WIOI, and it will be a half an hour service. Again, I'm grateful that you are worshiping with us today, and I pray that God comes close to you during this service and meets you exactly where you are and gives you exactly what you need. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you. join with me in the call to worship. Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of our praise be heard all around us. God has kept us safe and has not let our feet slip. Though God has tested us like silver is tested, God is bringing us through the testing. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and we will tell what he has done for us. We cried aloud to him, and God answers our cries.
Let us pray. Holy God, in you we live and move and have our being. And we ask that you would come close to us in this time of worship. Though we are separated from each other, help us to be united in heart and mind as we seek to serve you and our neighbors with our very lives. And Lord, when our hearts begin to stray from that unity, or we start to think or say unkind things about others, call us back from the edge and soften our hearts. Hear us now as we confess to you in these moments of quiet all of the ways we have allowed our hearts to become hardened, filled with frustration and anger and impatience with others, and perhaps even with ourselves. Trusting in the grace given to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we remember that only he is in a position to condemn us, and that he came into the world not to condemn us, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Remind us of your forgiveness and saving grace, that we might live in peace with ourselves and one another. Help us to keep the commands of Jesus, follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit within us, and to share God's love in the world around us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we turn our hearts and our ears to hear God's word, let us pray. Holy God, speak a word of life to us as we seek to live Christ's love in our world through this scripture readings we will hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our first reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses verses 15 through 21. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please join with me in the responsive reading from Psalm 68. Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard, who kept us among the living, and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads, and we went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a spacious place. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me.
Our final scripture reading today is from the letter of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. Hear what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey when God patiently waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sometime in the last week or two, I'm not sure exactly when it happened, I hit the quarantine wall. Do you know what I mean by that? Hitting the quarantine wall? It's that feeling of just wanting to throw up your hands and walk away from everything because it all feels hopeless. Now, for me, a normally cheerful and good-humored person, I think it's the combination of the stress of living right now in this surreal time, plus feeling like I'm living the same day over and over and over again with no escape, plus navigating the many different opinions and suggestions about how and when churches should reopen, plus not being in the same room as my family for 5 months now and not knowing when I'll be able to see them again. All these things, plus a million others, have just made me feel like I have hit the quarantine wall. Just made me want to throw up my hands and walk away because it just all feels hopeless. I presume at least a few of you listening on the radio this morning or watching this on YouTube have also hit a quarantine wall or something similar at some point in your life. I'm guessing you too know what it feels like for frustration or impatience to become your default mood, and to start to feel like things are hopeless. So if you know what that feels like, even just a little bit, then you are one step closer to understanding the words of our passage from 1 Peter. You know, the recipients of this letter are living with that same sense of frustration and impatience and hopelessness. As this letter's written, they think it's about 70 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, so that's kind of a distant memory for them by now. It's not nearly as shiny and new and inspiring as it was in those first days. And worse than that, they are suffering, it seems like, some kind of persecution for their faith in Jesus. The example given in this reading from 1 Peter appears in verse 13, where it says, "Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good?" Well, Apparently the answer to that question is lots of people, because verse 14 then says, but even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. So they are suffering for trying to live a Christ-like life. Now, it's not entirely clear just how severe the suffering and persecution was at the time 1 Peter was written. You know, it could have just been mockery and social snubs, or it could be something a little more serious than that. We do know that the persecution gets real bad real soon after this, and during the reign of the Roman ruler Domitian in 81 to 91 AD. So things aren't great now, but we don't know how bad they really are. But we know historically on the horizon, things are about to get a lot worse. So the folks living in the early church this time, the folks that 1 Peter is written to, they are banking on Jesus returning again any day now and rescuing them from their suffering. But as the days and weeks and months roll past with no sign of Jesus' return, they begin to hit the wall, and things start to feel hopeless. And so into that sense of hopelessness then, and I would suggest now, 1 Peter speaks a radical word of hope. 1 Peter reminds us that no matter what present experience may imply to the contrary, Jesus Christ is still Lord. And to know him as Lord is to know that all the powers of the universe, which are so far out of our control, are firmly in his control and subject to his authority. Jesus Christ is the one who has defeated death and opened the gates to everlasting life. And so resurrection and hope belong together. They go hand in hand. We know that. We know that intellectually in our heads. But sometimes, like now, when things are difficult, when things are feeling a little hopeless, that's a little hard to believe in our hearts. So what wisdom does 1 Peter have for us about holding on to hope when everything around us feels so hopeless? First, the author reminds his readers to keep their eyes on the big picture. Even if they suffer now, it says in verse 14, they will be blessed. So I think that's intended to be a reassurance for their current circumstances, as well as a promise for the future, when they will be rewarded for their faithfulness, just as their persecutors will be punished for their oppression. In the end, there is hope because they will be vindicated. Second, he encourages them not to fear what they, meaning their persecutors, fear. Now, this is actually a quote from Isaiah chapter 8, verses 12 through 13, where God tells Isaiah to separate himself from the attitudes and behaviors of the people around him. So instead of fearing what the world around them fears, 1 Peter is implying that Christians, Christ followers, should fear God alone. But that's a tricky phrase. What exactly does it mean to fear God and to fear God alone? And what in the world does that look like in our daily living? So if we read on, 1 Peter uses the phrase, in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. So they sanctify Christ as Lord by being ready, in verse 15, and by keeping their conscience clear, in verse 16. So they can be ready by having a gentle and reverent word, ready for those who would persecute them for their faith. So this probably looks a lot like speaking gently to someone with whom they are in conflict with, and ultimately turning the other cheek. And they can also keep their conscience clear by living a life above reproach, so that no one has a valid reason to criticize their faith. This probably looks a lot like praying for and loving their enemies. So to fear God and to sanctify in their hearts Christ as Lord, according to 1 Peter, is to enact their hope in their daily lives, living by faith. Because in the end, the greatest defense of their faith comes not from words, but from actions. So I guess that's kind of a complicated, winding, long way of saying that they can hold on to hope by choosing to live each day in faith and with confidence in God, rather than to be guided by the fears of the world around them. So that's some of the wisdom that 1 Peter has about how to hold on to hope in the midst of hopelessness. And he kind of provides, the author of 1 Peter provides kind of a list of what to do to hold on to hope. But the question of how we actually do any of those things remains. So to answer that question, the author of 1 Peter refers once again to Jesus and the example of his suffering for doing good. But then he also makes this random connection to the story of Noah and the issue of obedience, or I guess you could say in this case, the lack of obedience. By connecting this letter to that story, the author's readers, I think including us, are encouraged to obey God, something the human race has clearly struggled with since the beginning in the garden. So in the Hebrew, the word obey means to listen closely. So when God tells Adam and Eve to obey, God is saying, listen closely to me, not do what I say or else, which is often how we interpret obedience. And the Greek word for obey carries the same meaning as that Hebrew word. So what makes Jesus able to do the things he does is that he listens so closely to God. And because he listens closely to God, he serves and loves in radical and selfless ways. So the good news is that 1 Peter isn't threatening us with a potential punishment like a huge flood. It's trying to awaken in us the desire to listen closely to God in a way that will reveal our confidence and our hope in God, in how we live our lives, in our actions. 1 Peter wants our defense, or our story and witness, to be a story of trust, of confidence in God, revealed most clearly in our actions toward others. So when you think about the option of listening closely to God and the idea of fearing God and sanctifying Christ as Lord in your heart, I hope that listening closely to God feels manageable, or at least more manageable than the other two options. But even if it doesn't, even if all three of these things feel completely beyond what you are capable of doing, and you are still sitting there steeped in despair, wondering how in the world you will actually do any of these things, let me give you one more reason to hope. In our gospel reading from John, Jesus says to his disciples, and says it again to us today. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. Followers of Christ have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, something we will celebrate the last Sunday of the month on Pentecost. Followers of Christ have been given another advocate for us, another intercessor on our behalf once Christ returns to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. So this means we're not doing any of this alone. We have someone we can lean on, someone who will lift us up and empower us to make the kinds of choices we could never make on our own. We can draw on a source of strength that is far beyond any strength we can muster up on our own. The word of hope 1 Peter has for those who suffer, whether it is suffering because of persecution or suffering because of current life circumstances, is that in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have a source of hope and power that is outside of us and greater than us, and that transforms even our smallest step of faith or most timid act of love into something extraordinary. Frederick Buechner, one of my favorite writers, sums up the good news of 1 Peter perfectly when he writes, "For Christians, hope is ultimately hope in Christ. The hope that he really is what for centuries we have been claiming he is. The hope that despite the fact that sin and death still rule the world, he somehow conquered them. The hope that in him and through him, all of us stand a chance of somehow conquering them too. The hope that at some unforeseeable time and in some unimaginable way, he will return with healing in his wings." So my friends, when you hit the quarantine wall, like I did, or find yourself in what feels like a hopeless situation, hold on to hope with both hands if you have to, and just take one tiny step forward. Then just wait and see what God will do with that one little step of faith. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Ask ye what great
please join with me in the affirmation of faith. This is the good news that we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved, if we hold it fast, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and that he appeared first to the women, then to Peter, and to the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is our Lord and our God. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we each come to this time of worship with joys and concerns on our hearts and minds. The amount of suffering and sadness in this world can truly be overwhelming. So we are grateful for the glimpses of hope that sustain us in the midst of the darkness. Today we pray for all who search for you. May they find their way to you. Bless us with lips that sing your praise and lives that tell the stories of all you have done for us. Open our eyes to find you among us as we share your love with others. We pray today for all who are oppressed by governments or institutions, for those whose voices are not heard or believed, for those with no one on their side. Bless us with a joy for justice and the strength to persevere as we work toward your coming realm, where thy kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. We pray today for all who hunger, and those who worry each day how they will care for their family. Bless us all with meaningful work and fill us with good things as we love and care for each other and find our sustenance in you. We pray for all who suffer the violence and scars of war. We pray for all soldiers and their families, and all who live and serve in war-torn places. Give them courage in the face of fear, and in times of trouble, do not let their feet slip. Bless us with your vision of peace, for you have made us one family by giving life and breath to all. We remember before you all who have died, and pray for all who will die today, that in their last moments they may know your peace. Hear us now in this time of silence as we lift up to you the joys and concerns that we have specifically to share today. Bless us with the gift of faith, Lord, that we may know you and love you and trust you, and that we may enjoy eternal life shared with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now hear us as we pray together the way the church has prayed for generation after generation. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
is the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood are caught me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with the trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, rest in his righteousness alone. Solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
And now, as you face whatever may happen this week in your life, remember to be strong and courageous. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid. Instead, be of good courage and know that you are loved by me, by Second Pres, and by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace of our Lord Jesus Christ to be with you, and also with you. Please call up a neighbor and pass them the peace of Christ. Thanks again for listening to this Sunday morning worship service. I'm grateful that you tuned in. If you'd like to find out more about Second Pres, you can find us on social media. We have a Facebook page and an Instagram account. You can also check out our website, which is www.secondpres.org. If you have a joy or a concern that you would like us to keep in prayer, you're welcome to give us a call, 740-353-4159, or shoot us an email at secondpres@yahoo.com. We would love to hear from you and hope that you have been blessed within our worship service today. While our building may be closed, the mission and ministry of Second Presbyterian Church continues. So if you'd like to support us, we would greatly appreciate that. Donations can be mailed to our church at 801 Waller Street in Portsmouth, Ohio. Or if you visit our website, we have a giving page and you can give online. Thank you.